Here's my question and my challenge to you as we begin. How are we going to keep on going after Easter? You see, if you're anything like me, I'm sure there'll be experiences in life where we're all fired up, yet it quickly wanes. For me, it might be the notion of doing something remotely fit, like going for a run. Say you were to decide on a new fitness burst. You're all fired up and you go for an early morning run, and for the rest of the day you feel absolutely brand new. You think, I'm going to do this every day of the week and I'm going to feel fantastic. I just feel so good. And then, of course, Tuesday comes along and Wednesday comes along. And it's very easy to slip into that mindset where you've been all fired up, all ready for it, all enthused, but yet that starts to wane. We start to lose that kind of fire in our belly to carry on with these things. Well, I don't know about you, but after the Easter services that we had last week, I was so fired up. I was firing on all cylinders. We got the privilege of sharing with other Christians from around the town there in the Abbey, and of course there was bacon rolls, which was a plus. But what a joy it was. And we heard Alistair Morris, who's been the locum across the road at Oldham Abbey, sharing the word so clearly and so vividly about the news that Christ had risen. I was just kind of so encouraged by that. And then we had the great joy of worshipping here together as a family, and also welcoming as a family, as we had professions of faith, as we had baptisms and dedications. We also shared in communion. And if you didn't get a chance to be here last week or whatnot, basically to let you know, we had the chairs in a big circle around the way, and there's pictures online if you get a chance, but it was so encouraging. We were sat just over here and looking in towards it. It was just wonderful to be sharing with God's people in such a clear and vivid way. I came away from that all fired up. I was so enthused about Easter, not just because I got to eat lots of chocolate. And then of course we had our evening service again. We carried on with wonderful and joyous praise. But here's the challenge. We're there. We're at that high point thinking, I just want this to carry on. I just want this to continue. But Monday comes around. Tuesday comes around. Wednesday comes around. The chairs are faithfully put back to the way in which they were before. The chocolate Easter eggs are slashed in price, and I'd be surprised if there's any left, or if you do know of any, then let me know. But we kind of march past Easter, don't we? All of a sudden, it's a week past. How do we carry on? How do we spur ourselves on towards that enthusiasm and that encouragement? How will we remain affected by what we shared in, but also effective in the way in which we share that? And that's the two things that I want to look at this morning. How we can keep on being affected by the news and joy of Easter and the message that we share, but also how we can be effective in sharing in that. And we're going to use this passage from Philippians to encourage us to that end. Here, Paul is making this call towards unity. He's spurring them on in this way. But of course, the way in which he does that is to point. He says, your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus himself. He doesn't give them a formula. He doesn't give them a prescribe of what they have to do. He says, look at Jesus Christ. Mirror his example. So this morning, let us be affected by what Christ has done, but also effective in the way in which we share it. So firstly, thinking about being affected by something. Something that has an impact on us and makes us respond in a relevant way. I don't know about you, but when we turn our news on at the moment, it's pretty grim. The different things that we see going on, well, I don't know about you, but it certainly breaks my heart seeing all the different challenges that are around the world at the moment. We hear of that ferry disaster in Korea and all the ramifications of that. We see the tensions again building in the Middle East as they seem to peak and trough and peak and trough. And we, of course, see all that's happening between East and West with the kind of conflict that's happening in Ukraine. Such dark news. Yet when there's something that comes along that is good news, that's encouraging, that kind of makes you feel good, it's great to kind of latch on to these things, to be encouraged to that end. Perhaps you've heard in the news about a young man called Stephen Sutton. Stephen Sutton is has terminal cancer. He's just 19 years old. It's quite a sad story from the outside, but actually learning more of his story, it's so encouraging. You see, here's the thing. He was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he gave himself a bucket list, things that he would like to do before he passes away. And there's some wonderful things on that list. But quite high up the list, in fact, I think at the top of the list, was to do fundraising for the Teenage Cancer Trust. He set himself the incredible target of raising £1 million. Now, that's quite something for a young man of 19 to set himself the goal of doing. Here's the thing, though. His friends and other people started to be aware of this cause. They started to share it, and through the likes of Facebook and Twitter and other avenues, and also with celebrities getting behind it, people started to become aware of this Stephen guy, started to become aware of the fundraising, the valuable fundraising that he was doing. And so, the middle of last week, he started getting close to this £1 million target. And then all of a sudden, he breaks the barrier, the £1 million benchmark that he'd been pitching towards. And there's this great celebration, and there's pictures of him giving the big thumbs up, saying, yeah, we've done it. But yet, in the space of a few days, it went from £1 million to almost £2 million, then past £2 million, and at last count, it was almost £2.5 million. I don't even want to quote the exact figure, because I imagine that it's still clocking up and rising up. £3 million. I didn't think it would be long before we got there, but I've had confirmation. Craig's checking his phone as we go. £3 million. From a target of one, he's smashed through it and got to three. But here's the thing. Do you see the momentum that is behind that? When people started to be affected by his story, by what he's achieved, well, it's like a flywheel. It just gets going and going and going, and more momentum, and further and further and further. See, Stephen's story is a wonderful story, and I hope we remember it. But the reason that I share it is this. How is it that we're going to grab some of that momentum that so inspires us to carry on, to be affected by what we hear? I was so enthused as we shared with that Easter service, but how are we going to carry on in that? Well, what Paul points us to here is a step in the right direction. He says to those in Philippi, look at what Jesus did. Look at his example. Look at the very things that he did and be affected by that yourself. Let your response come out of the news of what Jesus Christ has done. I'm going to reread just some of the verses. He says to those in Philippi, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul says, look at what Christ our Lord did. We remember at Advent, at Christmas time, with all the hymns and with all the carols and all the rest, that Christ came amongst us. He came in the most gentlest of forms, a tiny baby. We've had a tiny baby out the front of the church already today. But there was Christ showing God amongst us, Emmanuel. There's the very words that we sing in those joyous hymns. He took the very nature of a servant. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. When I hear those words, I start to consider that God who created the heavens and the earth, who flung the stars into the sky, would come and live amongst us, let alone be a servant, well, it starts to affect what's going on in here. It's a great privilege that I have reading God's word and studying it week by week as I think about how I'm going to share it. But here's the thing, I've got to be affected too. And this week, as I was studying and as I was reading, something came and hit me right between the eyes. Something that I've known and read all these years, but yet it didn't really sink home until I meditated and thought about it. It's a picture just coming up, Karen. It's a painting. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. The Lord, Jesus Christ, God amongst us, took that nature of a servant. He took off his outer garments. This was at the Last Supper. It's recorded in John's Gospel. He took off his outer garments. He put a towel round his feet. And the disciples, that's the 12 that he'd shared with in the course of his ministry, well, he started to wash their feet. Christ took the role of a servant. This was the task for the lowest, to be washing people's feet. But there is Christ, our Lord, doing it himself. When I start to look at that picture, when I start to think about the very act that Christ did, well, I start to be humbled. To be honest, the thought of anyone washing my feet, whether the highest or the lowest, well, I think I would start to feel uncomfortable. I say, no, it's fine. I'll do it myself. I'll try and get by. I'll try and cope. But here is Christ with a towel around his waist, ready to serve. I don't know about you, but that hits me between the eyes. That he would wash his disciples' feet, that he would wash my feet. Let alone the fact that he would give his life for us. That hymn of praise that we read together was that he was obedient to death, even death on a cross. Christ, who came amongst us, served so clearly. Yet he showed the greatest act of service of all. He did the unthinkable. The crosses that we see around the church, we remind ourselves that he died the most shameful of deaths. The cross was a sign of curse, not the image that we've made it today as something of jewelry and all the rest. This was a curse that was put upon the Son of God. And in doing that, he took all our sin and all our shame, all our guilt, so that we might know new life. Paul says to those in Philippi, look at what Christ did. Look at how he served. Look at how the things he went through. Let these things shape your attitude. Let these things shape your mindset. Let yourself be affected by what Christ has done. I don't know about you, but when I see that painting, when I think of the ramifications of it, it so moves my heart. Maybe we just go back to that title slide, just click on one. Because here's the thing. If we're moved at all, and I would encourage you to be so, by what Christ has done, then how are we going on to be effective in this? Now, I want to stress that this is not some kind of shrewd business strategy. How are we going to share these things? How are we going to be effective? How are we going to be reaching targets? Nor is it to belittle the call to be sharing this message. The Philippian context was that there was this danger of disunity. So Paul says, well, set your mindset around what Christ has done and actually be effective in sharing with one another. And I'm sure that there's as pertinent a message as ever there was about the dangers of disunity. What he says is, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Perhaps there's words that will resonate for us this morning in that. But I'd like to take it a step further than the encouragement towards unity. Because here we stand, a week after Easter, and the question is, how are we going to share this message? How are we going to pass on this wonderful news that we've been a part of? You see, our attitude is set in the right direction by understanding what Christ has done. However, there must be an imperative to take this further, to share, to continue passing on that message. You see, if it's so much stirring in here, then what's the outpouring of that? What's the way in which we share that with other people? Well, to kind of put us a wee bit in the mindset, I'm going to tell you a story about turnips. Bear with me. I have a friend back in Dalkeith, which is a church there I used to worship at before I started training for the ministry. Now, he was out and about in his car, and he came across this farmer who was selling turnips with a little on-estate box, a wheelbarrow of the ugliest turnips imaginable. Now, essentially, these were turnips that couldn't quite go to the shops because they were funny and misshapen and all the rest. So into a wheelbarrow they went, still covered in dirt from the field. And they were there, folks would drive past, take one. Well, anyway, my friend Norrie, he did such a thing. He drove past, saw, oh, there's some turnips. I'll put some money in the honesty box and I'll take it home and I'll cook it and have it for my tea. However, Norrie had a revelation, because these were the most wonderful turnips that he had ever tasted. He was so fired up and enthused. He was saying, if ever you're going this road, it was kind of one of these middle roads in the back of Midlothian that you wouldn't really often have the occasion to drive. He says, if ever you go this way, look out for the wheelbarrow with the honesty box with the turnips. He was so enthused to pass it on, and when I tried one of these turnips, I too was likewise encouraged to pass it on. When you see something, when you capture something of that goodness, you want to share it. You want to pass it on. Now, that's all well and good prattling on about turnips. But more so, is it not the case? More so when we encounter the joy of hearing that Christ took that servant role. If we're quick to tell people about turnips, more so, we should be quick to tell, to share in a relevant way, the joy of knowing God as our Saviour. In ministry, one of the strangest but yet greatest privileges is being able to be alongside people in their grief. As we share in times of remembering, in terms of funeral care, but also the support and encouragement that is around that. Here's the thing. In that context, as you come along and you share with those people, you bring an Easter message. You share and you tell the news that Christ is risen, that there is a hope that he has triumphed over the power of the grave. You go and you share with those people. It's a great privilege to do, to actually speak peace and hope into that situation. As a challenge to you, though, do you have to wait, though? Do you have to wait until grief and hurt is so apparent? Well, I don't think we do. We look around and we see people that are hurting, people who are in despair, people who are lacking in hope. Yet we have this wonderful message to share. So my challenge, how are we going to be open and honest about that? How are we going to speak in a way that relates, that communicates that? How are we going to avoid that pitfall of losing the momentum that we had after that Easter service? Hopefully you were like me, you were all fired up. How are we going to carry on in that? I think the answer is this. We keep on being Easter people. We keep on being affected by what Christ has done. Whether we look at paintings, whether we pick up our Bible, whether we see an egg and we remember that the tomb was empty, the stone was rolled away, we keep on being affected. And my call is this, that actually if in your own life you've never been affected by that, you've never been so stirred and so moved, but yet you've heard it this morning, well, my encouragement is to this, is that you respond. That you see Christ there, the servant, washing the disciples' feet, but know that he was the servant who went to the cross for our sins. Be stirred and be moved. But yet, take that momentum. Keep on going with it. Use it to share and to bless others. It's said in this way, the gospel has its greatest influence when the lives of Christians commend it. The gospel has its greatest influence when the lives of Christians commend it. We have something far better than turnips to share of. The news that Christ died for our sins, that we have a new life and a new hope in him. So let us share this wonderful news, this wonderful hope. Shall we pray together?